Welcome to Kidman Talk, the web-based show coming to you from Kidology.org. My name is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist. Today we're going to be continuing our conversation with Pastor Todd McKeever and Reverend Barney Kennard, the Kidology Coaches. Today's show is sponsored by Kidology's online training, your self-paced, downloadable online training that enables you to prepare yourself for a grounded Kidman on your own time, right at your computer. I'm enjoying those of you who are connecting with the show via email and Twitter and in the forums, because remember, you can shape the show by your questions and feedback and by letting me know what you would like to talk about here on Kidman Talk. So grab a snack, grab a soda, sit back and relax, because it's time to talk Kidman. Well, here we are on November 1st, and of course, last night was that spooky night that the kids all dress up and hit the neighborhood to go get some candy. And so me and my five-year-old, we did it. We went out there door to door and to visit the houses that had pumpkins on the porch, signifying that they were willing to give the kids some candy. The spookiest house we went to was actually the Adams family down the street. Uh-oh, that's kind of spooky.
They're made in the beginning, when Earth just started spinning, but then they started singing, the Adams family. Their story's not a fable, the animals they labeled, they had a Cain and Abel, the Adams family.
That's a different Adams family.
Snake. Break. Mistake.
And that's the big and small of the family, first of all of. We're living with the fall of the Adam family.
Sorry, I just had to put that in there. But we went out trick-or-treating and it was a lot of fun. And I gotta tell you, my little boy, he's just not a greedy little boy. He's quite content to just get a little bit of candy. In fact, he shocked us at the end by saying, I'm done. I have enough candy. And he was done before we were, and we weren't even finished with the whole neighborhood. And we were quite happy to head back home. But at each house, he would just reach in there and he would just take one piece of candy. And that was fine for him. He wasn't one of those kids that, you know, was grabbing a whole bunch. In fact, one little girl at our door grabbed half the bowl, and I had to say, why don't you leave some for the other trick-or-treaters? Her parents looked so embarrassed when I had to say that. But every house, Luke would just grab one, and these parents would be saying, no, it's okay, please, take two, take three. We've got so much candy, and there's less trick-or-treaters than we thought, and we don't want this candy in our house. It's not good for us. It's just for the kids. And house after house, they just were encouraging him, take more, take two, take three, and he just would take one. And so Dad started getting in on it. So I would go, oh, there's a licorice, and I would grab a licorice. And one house had Snicker bars. I said, well, I'll take a Snicker bar if Luke's just going to take one. And so house after house, this little boy of mine would just take one and be content with that. And so I would sometimes grab a second one or really say, hey, Luke, it's okay. They're being generous. They're saying you can take two. If there's two in there that you like, feel free. You know, it's one night a year that people are giving out candy door to door. Well, we got to the end of our neighborhood, and across the street, they're starting to build a kind of a mirror image of our neighborhood and extend our little subdivision. And they've only built four houses over there, and I think only two of them are even inhabited. And we saw some lights over there, and I said, you know, Luke, let's go over there. And he didn't really want to. And I said, Luke, those poor people over there, you know, probably nobody's going over there. And they probably bought candy, and probably no one's going over there because it's past a couple of dark houses, and they're probably not getting any traffic, and you know, they probably could use some encouragement. So let's go over there. Let's make the extra trek. I mean, Jesus said to go into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And that, it was looking like the ends of the earth over there, and you know, across the dark street. And so we made the trek. We went all the way out there, across this, down the block, across the street, all the way to this lonely house there, and went up to the door. And Luke, you know, remember this, after house of them saying, take more, take more. This lady opened the door, nice looking lady, and she held out this bowl of candy, and and Luke said his trick-or-treat, and he reached in and he took one, and he finally got the courage to reach back inside the bowl and to take a second piece. And would you believe it, this lady chewed him out. You know, not in a bad way, but she just said, "Now, young man, don't you think just one would be enough?" And he looks at me like, "Dad, I can't believe I'm getting in trouble from this nice lady." And I felt so bad for him. He looked crushed. And so I tried to briefly explain to her, "Ma'am, the only reason my son reached back in the bowl was because house after house, he's only been taking one. You know, my son's not a greedy boy." I was a little defensive. I said, "But they've just been telling him, please take more, take more, take more. It's a slow night and there's not a lot of trick-or-treaters. And he's just finally at your house gotten the courage to reach back in the bowl for a second one." And she didn't seem convinced. She kind of gave me that look like, "You've got a greedy little boy there." And so we left, and I had to kind of debrief Luke that, you know, well, not everybody is as generous as the other houses, and maybe she didn't have a lot of candy and she wanted to make sure she didn't run out, and he had to put the second piece back. You know, isn't that how it is? I mean, you're trying so hard in your ministry to do the right thing and to keep everybody happy and to just toe the line. And then that one time that you finally get the courage to kind of step out in faith and to go the extra mile and maybe impress your boss, you know, and really go out there, and whammo, you just get smacked down. And it can be so discouraging. And I just thought that was just such a case study in life that my little boy experienced trick-or-treating last night. Well, how appropriate that today's topic, as we continue our Kidmin keywords on the letter E, is encouragement. And so I'm going to run the second half of my conversation that was recorded last week in California when I got to sit down with both Kidology coaches. But before we go, let me remind you that next week we are going to continue on with the next Kidmin keyword, and we're going to be on to the letter F. So if you want to suggest or guess, because it can go either way, I've got in my mind what the Kidmin keyword for the letter F is going to be, but you can change my mind if you want. So you're either guessing what I think it is, or you're suggesting what you think it should be, and my mind can be changed. So by Twitter, by email, in the show notes page comments, somewhere, you communicate to me, or by email, carl@kidmintalk.com, what you think the Kidmin keyword for the letter F should be, because next week's show is going to be all about that, as well as some other things. Well, before I dive into the recording and finish up our conversation with Pastor Todd and Pastor Barney, I need to tell you again about the amazing offer that I started last week, because there's a few openings left. Barney and Todd are our Kidology coaches, and they spend time every week one-on-one with their students. There's a lot of coaching programs out there. Some of them are kind of a group call where everybody's on the phone at once. Sometimes it's a once-a-month call. But Barney and Todd spend time every week on the phone one-on-one with their students. Plus, it is a curriculum-based coaching program. I mean, it is a 4-inch, 5-inch thick notebook that you end up with when you are graduated from the Kidology coaching program. It is rich. It is deep. It is personalized and customized for your ministry and your needs. In fact, you can go to Kidology coaching section on our website and watch an interview with me and Barney talking about it. But last week, we put out an offer for 8 people, the first 8 who email me at carl@kidmintalk.com and ask for a free hour of coaching. And those 8 spots have not all been taken. Almost half of them have. In fact, over half have been taken. But there are 3 or 4 spots left, because when you email me, I will send you a document called a Get to Know You form, and you just fill that out with your contact info, answer a couple simple questions. That's basically what the new students fill out to help the coach get to know you, know a little bit about your ministry. And when you send that back to me, that helps me pick which coach to assign you to based on your needs and your ministry, denomination, things like that. And then I will assign you to a coach. And we have about 3 or 4, I say 3 or 4 because one of the forms I haven't gotten back from one guy. And so if he doesn't send it back and 4 other people do, then he's out. So he knows who he is. So he's got to get that back to me soon. But when those 8 spots are gone, they're gone. But it's a free hour of coaching and introduction to the Kidology coaching program. There's no obligation. You can take that one free hour and just benefit from that rich hour with our Kidology coach and be done. But you also, of course, our hope is that you'll experience that hour and want to sign up. But anyway, so don't assume that those all eight are just gone right away, because while they should have been, because it's such an incredible free opportunity, they're actually still available. So I mentioned it again this week. Snag those up. Email me, carl@kidmantalk.com. If you want to use Twitter or Facebook or some other way, it'll just take longer. But snag those opportunities up. And go to Kidology Coaching on the website and learn about it, read about it. Avail yourself of this incredible investment in you. Remember, last week, Barney shared a story of a student who said, I learned more in 4 units of Kidology Coaching than I learned in 4 years of Bible college. That is because it is customized and contextualized to you and your needs and your ministry. There's just something about coaching. If you feel the Lord's prompting, take advantage of it before someone else does. Beat them to it. And I also want to tell you just a little bit about the Kidology Online Training. That is an amazing resource. Over and over, I get emails from folks who say they're so glad they took advantage of that. I created the Kidology Online Training because in being a minister and being the head of Kidology, I don't have the time to be a coach myself. And so I created a means for me, what I call a scalable way to coach. And so I took the time to develop some videos and some PDF coaching materials that you can download and do on your own time. Now, I also do answer emails from people who have purchased the online training, but you watch these videos that I created online. You can, those are free to any Kidology member, by the way. You can just go to Kidology Online Training if you're a premium member and just watch those. But if you purchase the download kit, you get basically a book that I wrote, and there's assignments in there, and there's 5 of these labs, and you can, you know what I'm going to do? The first 5 people email me and say, give me lab number 1, I'll just give it to you. How's that? Because it's our sponsor this week. So you just email me, I'll send you lab 1. Lab 1 is an audio PowerPoint. The labs after number 1 get even better because they're video-based, and I'm actually talking to the camera. But I'll give you lab 1, the first 5 people, because they can transform your ministry as they go through 5 basic foundational things that you need to address as a leader in children's ministry. And volunteers have told me that they've been very helpful to them as well, especially as many volunteers run children's ministry. There's this misnomer that people that, you know, run children's ministries are all professionals. And when we say professional, it really just means you get paid. But as you know, those of you who are listening, most people that run children's ministries are not paid. They're getting paid when they get to heaven, and they're probably going to be looking around, and we're going to see a lot of volunteers in bigger mansions, because a lot of us professionals got our pay here on earth, right? Amen to that. Well, with no more further ado, let's roll the second half of my interview with Pastor Todd McKeever and Barney Kennard as they talk about the power of encouragement. How do you keep encouraged yourself, and how do you encourage those in your ministry as we wrap up the second letter E in our Kidmin keywords. Well, there's some great advice on equipping. Our second E is the encouraging. It's very encouraging just listening to you guys talk about equipping. But when we talk about encouraging, and they definitely go hand in hand, because when you're equipped, you're encouraged. And when you're encouraged, you want to equip others, because they just are secular in nature. So what would you say is, let me ask you first personally, and let's start at a more personal level. Pastor Todd asked me this earlier today. He said, you know, how do you stay encouraged with a busy ministry like Kidology? And so I'll answer that question first. How do I stay encouraged as I run Kidology and write curriculum and have staff that I oversee? And really, the way I stay encouraged in my ministry is by getting detached from my ministry, getting away from my ministry. And it took me way too long to learn just how unimportant my ministry was. You know, when you have a ministry that people appreciate, and you have a ministry that you love, and you get thanks and you get appreciation, especially when I was in pastoral ministry, and you have kids that love what you do, and you have parents who love what you do, and you have a boss who is saying, you know, attaboy, you can thrive off of that.
and it can drive you and it can keep you going because you want to, you know, keep pleasing everybody. And it took me way too long to realize I needed to get away from the ministry and just be not a pastor, just be Carl. And that was why way too late I started Yosemite Summit. And I'm really not trying to plug Yosemite Summit because I can only take a couple of guys on it every year. But when I go to Yosemite Summit every May, and men who are listening can check out yosemitesummit.org. And because of writing about that, I actually had a bunch of women email and say, hey, you need to do one of those for women. Well, I can't take a bunch of women to Yosemite. So I contacted a woman friend of mine, children's pastor, and asked her to start a retreat for women. And so we have that as well. And it's called Unbridled. And unbridledretreat.org is where you can learn about where Pastor Kim Bob does a retreat on a ranch with horses for women. But when I go to that Yosemite Summit, it is a complete disconnect from my ministry. In fact, I don't even think anybody understands just how complete that disconnect is. I mean, there is no kidology. It is dead to me. It doesn't exist for that week. I don't think about kidology. I'm not asking God what, you know, his vision is for kidology for the next, you know, 5 years. I don't even pray about kidology. I don't think about my employees. Sorry if any of them are listening to this. I just spend time with God. I just pray about my wife or my marriage. I pray about my son. I really just commune with the Lord. I need to completely disconnect from the ministry because that encourages me because I realize that God really isn't looking for what I can do for him. He's just looking for me. Getting away from doing and just being. And I think even volunteers need to do that. Sometimes they need to just, if they're losing the joy of what they're doing, pastor, professionally, or volunteer, sometimes it's just a matter of getting away from it, going for a walk, going for a hike, going fishing, whatever it is that renews them or refreshes them, just walk away from it and walk back toward God. And so that's how I would answer that question. I started with Barney last time. I'll start with Pastor Todd this time. What encourages you, just Todd, before you try to give any advice to the listeners, what encourages you? How do you stay encouraged? Same question you asked me in the car earlier.
I think I have some similarities to your answer. I mean, for me, it's actually getting away. I love waking up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Always have. I'm a morning person. I mean, you can vouch for that. I was up this morning at 2:30, but for my time, that would actually be 4:30. So I love getting up in the morning and just when no one else is around and just spending time with God. And for me, I have to go outside. I try to go outside by the swimming pool, by parent-in-law's house there. But anyway.
Couldn't get the back door open.
Yeah, because I was trying to be too quiet. But anyway, so for me, that's what it is. It's going out fishing. It's hanging out with my family. I can't think of a better thing to do. When I just get to sit with my wife, I mean, just as simple as that. I mean, my wife is my biggest encourager.
But if you get discouraged in the ministry, I mean, and you've been there, and I know your current ministry is very encouraging and things are going well, but you've been there, and I'm not trying to say your last ministry. I just mean in years of ministry, you have been in difficult ministries. You know, budget is going bad. Maybe you're low on volunteers. I mean, there's listeners that, I mean, they're ready to throw in the towel, or they're volunteers who are powerless. They're not even a paid position, and they don't want to leave the church. They love the church, but it's just doomsday in their ministry. If that was you, what would you do to encourage yourself when you can't change the situation? So Todd McGeever's in their shoes, what would you do to encourage yourself?
Well, one, I mean, if I'm a volunteer, remember the position that you're in. You are a volunteer. You can go to your senior pastor and let him know, listen, I need to take some time off. That pastor gets vacation time, so I would take that time off. And get away. You know, I think that is huge. I
mean, what about the guilt? I'm going to make things worse on them, you know, if I take a break. You know, they're already going, the Titanic's going down. If I take a lifeboat or jump overboard, it's going to go down quicker.
You know what? I think sometimes we take more credit for the ministry than we should.
Amen.
It's really God's ministry. And I think we get snagged in that when we call them our kids, when really, my children's ministry, I have three in my children's ministry that I'm responsible for. That's my three children, my personal children. The others are on loan for an hour and a half from God. So You know, I don't know that the ministry is ever going to, it's not going to be made or broke by me. I know that God needs to keep, I need to stay good with God and my relationship. There's a great book called Choosing to Cheat, which I love the book. It's by Andy Stanley. I've done a book review on it on my blog as well. But the whole thing is you've got to understand that there are some relationships you don't choose to cheat. At the end of 24 hours, there's always going to be someone somewhere in your circles of influence that feel that they should have had more of your time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of, listen, you got to follow God's priorities. His priorities are your relationship with Him first, then your relationship with your spouse, then your kids, and then He lets you pick kind of after that. So it could be ministry, it could be work, it could be whatever you choose, and keep Him in that priority.
Well, and I think back over the ministries that I was killing myself for, doing all-nighters, working till the wee hours of the night, you know, and that's not all bad. I mean, I love those churches, and I gave it my all, and I thought when I was leaving those churches, what are they going to do without me? And they were just perfectly fine without me. You know, they went on just great. Now, they missed me because I had relationships there, and they loved what I did. I brought, you know, my flavor of ministry to the children's ministry, but ministry went on fine after me. The kids got saved, kids got rooted in the Word of God, and it just took on a different flavor after I left. And you think, well, if they survived fine without me, they certainly could have done fine for a week without me. And I think it really is pride to think that the church can't survive without me. And there's times when we do need to just take a break. And
Andy Stanley talks about that in his book. He talks about the balls that you're juggling in the air. And he says, you want to know how important those balls are? Stop juggling them. See which ones other people choose to pick up. And you will find that there's many balls that people will not choose to pick up because you associated value with that, not the people. Sometimes we think because we're involved in something, it's got much more value because we're involved in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But once you stop juggling those balls, just look to see what balls will be picked up.
If it's truly important, someone will pick it up.
Someone will pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's...
And that's humbling if...
It's very humbling.
If they all fall and nobody picks it up.
So be encouraged as you now realize your value is probably not as important as you think it is. But,
yeah.
Your value is important.
Well, and sometimes God's trying to kill something, and we're keeping a dead horse alive that God's trying to kill to do something in someone else's life or to change the direction of the church or to, you know, and God, we may be hindering what God's trying to do and not realize it. And so our own spiritual health is the most important thing. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
So excellent. All right, Barney, how about you? Encouragement.
Well, everybody has to find out what energizes you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered along the way that what it really energizes me is being alone. Some people are energized by being with people, and they need people for that purpose. But I discovered that I really do need some time alone.
Which surprises people when they, especially people like us, I'm the same way, when you're so good in front of people,
mm-hmm.
and you're a good performer and you're a good speaker, they think, really, you want to be alone when you're so good with people?
Yeah, to me, to be with people and to be on and be performing means that I'm using a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am not in front of people, that's when I'm conserving energy. That's when I'm bulking up to be able to have the energy to do that. So it's a little bit like going on a little bit of a hunting trip. You shoot your gun and your bullets are all gone. Then you go home and reload. And then you go out and do it again. So the performance is the shooting of the gun. The charging up is when you're alone and getting your bullets ready and lining up your work. So I have discovered that I've just got to have some alone time. And I fight for when I can do that, how I can do that. And I've been, over the last few years, I've been taking monthly retreats. 1 year, I took a retreat every month, went to Forest Home, and had a wonderful experience with God.
So whether someone's a volunteer or a leader, they need to identify what encourages them and then,
mm-hmm.
and then prioritize it and fight for it, whatever it is.
Yeah, for example, we're encouraged when somebody thanks us. Or somebody writes us a nice personal note and says, you know, what a nice job you did at such and such an event. You know, that those kind of things are encouraging. Or when your children's pastor comes and visits you and sticks their head in the door and observes what's going on and they see you in your fine moment doing something with the young children. And that's encouraging. And particularly if they say something to you about what you did or if they say something to someone else who tells you what they said. That's encouraging. I get encouraged when I see results. I mean, if I have a purpose and I'm trying to share the gospel with some kids, and some kids accept Christ, that's encouraging me. I get very, very excited about that, almost weeping, because I know God's using me. So those results are encouraging. I think two other things that come to mind that I think are really, really important for lay people, and that's to be appreciated. We respond to appreciation. If someone can appreciate what we're doing and acknowledge that and somehow communicate that to us, that's encouraging. Particularly if we're doing something new or anything we're trying to learn and grow, and maybe we just haven't got it together yet, but someone recognizes the effort and to be acknowledging of that and to encourage us. So maybe say attaboy, attagirl, or applaud a little bit, or just to affirm that. And of course the next one is affirmation. I've been really studying about affirmation. I think affirmation is really, really lacking in children's ministry because we don't affirm people enough. And a typical children's pastor doesn't get affirmed much at all in the staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's our job. We're expected to do that, so the pastor doesn't say much, or the other staff don't acknowledge what we're doing. It really is a big job. One of my students is stepping down in a few months. Her name is Arlene Winning. And Arlene is stepping down in her position January 1st. She'll be leaving her position. And the people are now beginning to realize all she does. Because a lot of what you do when you do it well, it happens so easily and so matter-of-factly, and nobody knows. And so now Arlene's experiencing this kind of thing, well, ooh, I'm a little uncomfortable, you're leaving now. Well, I didn't realize there was so much involved in this. I didn't know that you do all these things and you do all these steps. And wow, there's a lot more planning going on than I knew about. And boy, you make it look so easy, they say to her. And so now she's feeling like, you know, I need to invest in these people more and to be able to encourage them and help them and give them the tools so they can be able to do it. That's equipping and encouraging.
Well, and often we point out the things that go wrong and we miss the positive. You know, this weekend while I was here in California, I did a wedding for one cousin, then I did a birthday party for the son of another cousin, a two-year-old party. They had this pinata, and I was very impressed with my five-year-old because during the pinata thing, he just really displayed a lack of greed. You know, he didn't run in. He was the biggest boy, and he could have pushed and shoved and fought for candy, and he just took a little bit. And then during the second pinata, when I said, "Hey, the candy broke," he said, "I have enough." And then later, there was another pinata that was full of these big balls. And he said, "I don't need that. I have enough balls at home." And it just really surprised me. And so later, I was commending him at bedtime, just how proud I was that he wasn't greedy and that he, you know, just took what he needed and he didn't push and shove, and that a lot of boys push and shove. But while I was doing that on the car ride home, I could just see, you know, how much that praise, you know, he just was like inflating. His back was straightening and his shoulders were going back. And so, you know, I continued to affirm these character traits. It's and when I was done, he said, "Well, what else did you see, Dad?" And
give me some more.
And and he said, "Well, I also said thank you to the lady for inviting me." And I said, "Well, I'm glad to hear that." And he said, "I also closed my eyes during prayer." And he began to list, you know, all these things. But just this habit that I try every night at bedtime to tell him the things that I'm proud of, because obviously I'm pointing out things all day long that he's doing wrong, and I'm correcting him. And I don't want him to feel like the only words he ever gets from his father are when he messes up. I want to balance out fatherly correction with pointing out, and I'd like the balance to be more pointing out his positive character traits, mm-hmm. so that it's not so discouraging. Well, the same applies to adults. Mm-hmm. You know, do we only say, "Hey, you didn't check out the VCR properly, you didn't fill out the form, hey, you used, you know, the wrong type of paper, or you didn't put the whiteboard markers back." I mean, if all we're ever doing is pointing out negative things, unfortunately, a 40-year-old is going to be the same as a 4-year-old. They're eventually going to quit because it's just discouraging. And man, those children's leaders are, you know, always ragging on the little things that I do wrong. And
well, affirmation and appreciation are very, very strong principles, and they are ultimately encouraging to us. We need to practice that. We need to be intentional about it and deliberate about it, and people will respond.
Yeah. I think that's why even at lunch today we were talking about that, and I think that's why I even have that praise folder of all the cards that the kids have wrote about, man, Pastor Todd, I love you, and the pictures that they draw and stuff. I keep that over the years, so when a day is really going bad...
Now, is this a thin file or a real...
No, this is
file?
This is like file cabinet drawers, okay? And no, this is on one piece of paper, front and back, double spaced. But I can go to that drawer and then pull that stuff out and then...
Well, on Kidology, we've got some resources from Steve Greer on how to encourage your volunteers and some fun ways to take candy bars and simple things and put them together. And
so, Children of Light?
Champions of Light is the name of his ministry, and lots of fun ways. In fact, my wife loves to encourage, and I put my wife in charge of what, and we didn't tell our volunteers this, so the secret's out now if any of my former volunteers are listening, which may be unlikely, I don't know. But I made her my encouragement czar, you know, and her job was just to periodically plan something to encourage our volunteers. So they, while you can do an appreciation banquet once in a while, that's kind of like giving your wife flowers on Valentine's Day. It's kind of expected, and you don't get a lot of mileage out of it. And so I wanted my wife to plan encouragement things that were just out of the blue every 4 to 6 weeks, you know, just she would just go down the hall with a cart with some kind of a craft or a candy bar with an encouraging note or something that we did just out of the blue. And if it was a hot Sunday, if it was just giving Slurpees to everybody, or if it was a candy bar thing, because I think bottom line, what our volunteers are saying is just, give me some blessing.
That's really all I want. Encouragement, blessing,
well, my hands are rising and my feet
affirmation.
I'm loving my Jesus and I'm serving him more. All over the
church, the word Barney said, recognition of effort.
So sweet, and I'm so glad I serve him.
Appreciation.
So glad I love him. Lord, won't you give me some blessing?
Give me some blessing.
Just
give
him
some blessing.
That's all encouragement is. And it's all our volunteers want. And some more music from Creative Ministry Solutions.
Hey! Well, I feel so good since you came into my heart. My sin is forgiven and my heart is on fire. I read the Bible daily and it tells me what to do.
Well, it's been a blessing having Barney and Todd here and hanging out with them, talking about how to equip and encourage and how to be equipped and encouraged ourselves as we reach and teach kids for Jesus. Well, next week, we are going to have another Kidmin keyword. And you know what's after the letter E? Everybody say it. A, B, C, D. And that's right, E is the letter F. So you get to guess which Kidmin keyword starts with the letter F. Now remember, it may not be the same word that I had in the original classic Kidology handbook. It might be the same one, or I might update it, or I might choose to go with the word that you suggest in the forum, in the show notes page comments. You can Twitter it, you can email it, and if I go with your word or you guess it, you will win a prize. Now, Barney and Todd both were given a copy of the Almighty Bible, Book of Acts, the one that I got a quote on the back. I've got a limited supply of those, and so I gave them each their own copy. In fact, Todd already had it because he had downloaded a copy of the Almighty Bible on his iPad. That's what's so cool about the Almighty Bible. And now it's time to drop a name. That's right. Every week I drop some names on the show. If your name was mentioned on the show today, all you have to do is comment on the show notes page, and I'm going to send you a prize. It's that simple. Now, today I'm just going to mention Joni Lum again because we're so thankful that she opened up her church to us for recording Kidmin Talk today. And I'm going to let both of our guests here drop their names. They may have already mentioned them on the show today, but just in our official name dropping in time. Barney, whose name are you going to drop to win a prize?
I've got two. Erica Miracle, who's one of my students, and Arlene Winning, okay. Also one of my students.
They just have to comment on this page, the show notes page, and I will
They're
drop
terrific
some.
Students. I'll expect them to see their note.
All right. And Pastor Todd, whose name are you going to drop?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with two students then.
Oh, I'm going to be broke. How many prizes are I going to give away?
Well, I figure if he goes with two, I've got to go with two.
All right. Who's it going to be? Right.
One is going to be Jacob Myers, who is transitioning to the full-time mission field.
Congratulations.
Overseas. Yeah, it's very exciting. He's been my longest-term student for over a year now. So, and then Don Ferris is another one of my students who has picked up task management like nobody else's business.
All right. Well, hopefully he has made time to listen to the show. Because if any of those students or Joni are listening to the show, just comment on the show notes page, and you will be receiving a prize from Kidology. So if you know these individuals, be sure to tweet them, email them, call them, go ring their doorbell, and tell them that they are winners. They have 1 week until next week's show goes live to claim their prize. If you would like your name to be dropped on the show, all you need to do is be active in communicating. This is a two-way street. I would like you to be involved in the show so that I'm not just talking to the mic by myself, but interacting with you, answering your questions. So shape the show by emailing, Twittering, being involved, so that when I'm talking Kidmin, I'm answering your questions and talking about the things that you would like me to talk about. Well, this is Carl Bastian. It's been great hanging out with you and Barney and Todd. Barney, you'd like to say goodbye?
Thank you very much for having me. This has been lots of fun.
And Todd.
Hey, again, thanks for letting us come on and just chit-chat with everybody.
All right, until next time, this is Kidmin Talk.